Welcome to the Not So Sunny Sunshine Showdown. Florida versus Florida State in the swamp. Michael, this is not what we expected it to be this season. These two teams are just kind of terrible. Both of them are, you know, we're fighting for a bowl eligibility. They're fighting for the season to end so they can move on and get a new coach. But we're still going to play the game. And it's still rivalry week. So, man, I don't care. I tweeted this out earlier this week. I don't care what the records are. I don't care how bad these teams are. Man, this is still Florida. And this is still a game that I always want to win. I always want Florida State to win. But it's rivalry week, and this is Florida, and we're going into the swamp, man. This is a game I always want us to win. I don't care what the records are. And, you know, normally with rivalry games, you just throw the records out the window anyway. So, like I said before with Virginia Tech, maybe if it's just two bad teams fighting in a vacuum, we'll just pretend they're both okay on Saturday. So, man, we're going to see how it goes. I still laugh at Florida. I'm like, I think this is karma for last year with how they laughed at us for going 2-10. Well, buddy, life comes at you pretty fast.
Real fast.
As the Gators sit here. At 3-8, man, looking kind of rough. But, you know, they would love nothing more. I'm going to say play spoiler, right? But we know bowl eligibility is not spoiling our season because we should never be in this position anyway.
Correct.
But they at least have something that they could take away from us. And so Florida State's got to show up, man. You got to try and win this game. And frankly, man, now that the announcement has been made that Mike Norvell is coming back, you need to win this game, right? Yeah. We talked about this on our last episode. In the grand scheme of things, does it make a huge difference? Probably not. Yeah. But you always want to beat Florida. You want to make that bowl, right? Because if you make that bowl, then you're at least going to get those 15 extra practices and you're going to get a chance to probably put in some young guys and see where things look for next year. So I think this is still an important game. This just winning this game would just probably be like the cherry on top of a poop sundae, right?
Right.
Like it's, I don't know what it means, but I'll still take it. So man, we're going to jump into this one. We're going to break everything down and what you can expect from this game. This one might be a little bit light because there's not a whole lot to talk about between these two bad teams, but we're going to make it happen for you guys. So, Michael, before we jump into this, man, I appreciate you joining me for another episode, and how are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me. Yeah, this is cherry on top of poop right here. You know, Florida gets a chance again, a la 2021, you know?
Yeah.
Man, just you ever thought about how this season is strongly iridescent of 2021? You know, one thing kind of looks like the other. Didn't someone get fired for that once?
There was a guy. I remember.
There was a guy. Anyways, that to be told later. Yeah, so, you know, here we are back again, having to play an interim head coach for the University of Florida. Florida State's playing them for the chance to go to a bowl game. That's where we are. That's where it is. And it's on the road, Jesse. Let's just be real. Let's just go ahead and put the elephant in the room up front. It's on the road.
Yeah, it's hard. It's just hard to pick Florida State. Like we were talking before the show, man, I hate picking against Florida State, and I'll probably never pick Florida, but it's a road game. And so it's hard to pick Florida State in that road game, man. But I mean, one would think, right, that the streak would end eventually, the road game streak. Like eventually you got to get across the finish line some way, somehow, man. But this really does feel like a fever dream, right? That you just can't wake up from. It's just the wildest of times that we're here, man. And as we go into the offseason, hopefully they're going to make some changes. But it just, you know, it just doesn't feel real that this is where we're at once again. But it's where we're at. And so this is what we got to deal with, man. So at least getting this win on Saturday. Again, I'm not trying to spin this as like something great. It would at least feel good. Let me say it like this. It would at least feel good not to lose to that Florida team,
correct,
right? It's not
correct.
Even about beating that Florida team. It's about you, man, just don't lose to another team with an interim staff
right.
who is a 3-win team. So, like, I think that's more of a good way to say it is it's not really about going over there and beating them. It's about not losing to
right.
that bad of
right.
a Florida team because they're right. terrible, man. But we're going to talk about them in just a minute. Michael, it is Thanksgiving week, my favorite holiday.
Yes, me too.
I love to eat, and so this is my favorite holiday. Hopefully, we're having some fried gator tail on Saturday. That would be nice, even though this game kind of feels like the canned cranberry of Thanksgiving. That's kind of what this game is. So, I don't know, man. I got some plans for Thanksgiving. I actually have to work, which kind of stinks. You know, in the first responder world, we're not even allowed to take it off. So, it is what it is. I'm used to it by now. I work Thanksgiving and I work Christmas. So, we're going to do ours on Friday. And, man, I'm going to smoke some turkey. I'm a sides guy, though. Like, I love the turkey aspect, but I'm a sides guy. I'm trying to get that mac and cheese. I'm trying to get some mashed potatoes.
Come on now.
I'm trying to hit that dessert table, and I'm a dark meat guy. I don't know about you, but, man, I'm smoking some turkey wings, smoking some turkey legs, so I'm looking forward to that. So, I don't know, man. Are you a turkey guy, or are you a sides guy?
So, I'm really like a sides guy as well, too, man. My favorite thing is to have is the cranberry, right? I want to put cranberry on everything. I want cranberry on the stuffing, on the corn, on the turkey, on the mac and cheese. I want it on everything. I want it on the roll. I just smother it. People always ask me, Michael, do you want some turkey with that cranberry? I'm like, no, I just want more cranberry. So that's me. Now, this year, we're doing something a little bit different. My family has requested chicken instead of turkey this year. So we're going to do a chicken meat portion instead of the turkey this year. So I'm interested to see how that goes. I'll let you know.
There you go. I almost smoked a brisket instead of a turkey this year. I thought that would have been pretty good. But I take the cranberry just because I have to, you know, kind of like Mike Norvell is our head coach. I only just keep it around because I have to, right? So, yeah, I mean, but I'm looking forward to it, man. It's always a good time. And from us to the Plant the Spear family, I hope all of you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Definitely, you know, there's a lot of football and food and family and stuff like that. And you know, if you're not in a place with family and stuff like that, man, just reach out to somebody, find somebody, you know what I mean? And try to have a good holiday, because I know this time can be tough for some people as well. So we just wish our best to you guys. Now, Michael, we joke about this game, but we're going to talk about it. I mean, this is Florida State, man. I know it's not one of the storied chapters that we've seen throughout rivalry history, but they're still going to line up and play the game on Saturday. And so, you know, it's hard to get motivated when you have a season like this. But again, when it's Florida, you always want to see this team go in here and play hard, and you want to get that win. You know, there's not a lot of bragging rights on the line, but it's still bragging rights. You know what I mean? Those fans are still going to be loud if you lose this game, right? And so you at least want to handle your business over there. So we're going to break this game down coming up right now. But before we do that, Michael, I do want to give a quick shout out. And that is to, you know, I told you, I think it was last week or the week before, where I said I wanted to brag on our listeners for the Virginia Tech game because of, you know, just the love and support they've shown us over the years, man. And so once again, they knock it out of the park, our listeners, man. I got to brag on a couple more of the PTS family here. And this is going out to Justin and his wife, Kayla Hartman of Hartman Customs. If you guys are watching on YouTube, you may have noticed I have a sweet new hat on right now. It is nice. Plant the Spear hat. It's got a leather, like, engraved patch on it that says Plant the Spear with our logo. Man, this thing is sick, and I absolutely love it. And so Justin actually knows my brother. They work together in South Georgia, and so he's a listener of the podcast, and his wife owns Hartman Customs, so make sure you check them out on Instagram and on Facebook. They got a lot of really nice stuff. I'm probably going to order a few more of these hats for some of our listeners, too. And so I just want to give them a quick shout-out. They mailed us a box with a thank you card for the podcast and for doing and two hats, and I'm going to ship Michael's to him. And so, man, I just want to say, first off, shout-out to Justin for being a listener of the podcast, a longtime listener. We really appreciate everybody in the PTS family. But also, I just want to thank him and his wife for being kind enough to send us these two Plant the Spear hats, because it's funny, I've actually been looking at having some of these made, but I wasn't sure how it'd be turned out, you know, if it were embroidered or whatnot. And I absolutely love the look of this hat. They did an amazing job with the craftsmanship of this. So make sure you check out Hartman Customs there. They do a great job. But man, thank you for the hats. These are amazing. And so, Michael, once again, our listeners just kind of never cease to amaze me.
I mean, what has made this season bearable, it has really been our PTS family, the fans.
It has.
I mean, you guys have been there all along. You've stayed with us. You've laughed with us. You've stormed the field with us. You've cried with us. You've been angry alongside of us. Like, you guys are what makes this worthwhile, especially when we've had back-to-back terrible seasons. So we truly appreciate you guys. We truly appreciate all the invites and the hospitality that you've shown, you know, from the tailgates with Ronnie and to the hats with Justin and Kaylee with Katie from, you know, the fire department PR, you know, giving us those coins, like just incredible. You guys have been just so awesome, and we just want to say Thank you. Thank you. And shout out to Shelly, who we shared an Uber with from the airport to the Carter Finley Stadium there, and Shelly and her son Monroe. So shout out to them as well. They're PTS subscribers. And so we're just grateful for all you guys.
Yeah, man. And it's funny because you're spot on, right? This year has been, it's funny because this year has been awful on the field, but from an off the field perspective, it's been one of the best since I've started this. Like even the Alabama game when we showed up, I think what, 6-8 people before the game, 10 people came up to us and was like, oh, that's Plant the Spear, taking pictures and stuff. Like, man, it is from the Virginia tailgate when we had a blast to all the other tailgates with Ronnie at the home games and everything, man, we have had NC State. We have had a blast. It's just the on-the-field product has sucked. So that is no reflection to the fan base, man. So, again, really, really cannot thank you guys enough. And, again, special shout-out to the Hartmans there, Justin and his wife Kayla, for the hats, man. I really appreciate that. And I'll be shooting you guys a message here shortly. And I may even be ordering some. We were talking about that. That may be a good thing for the tribe members who join the PTS tribe. So we're going to look into that as well. So, Michael, let's talk about this game. It ain't the funnest game to talk about, but we're still going to talk about it, right? Florida State comes in here at 5-6. Florida comes in here at 3-8. It is going to kick off at 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon on ESPN2. Florida is favored by 1.5 points, over under 51.5. And you know what? I think Vegas has finally caught on, right? Because you look at Florida State last week was favored by, 4.5 over NC State going on the road into Carter-Finley, a team who was 5-5. But now you're going into the swamp, and you're a 1.5-point dog to a team that's only won 3 games. So I think they finally figured out Mike Norvell just cannot win a road game. And so that would break down to a UF winning around 27, 24-ish or so when you break the score down. Now, this is a series that's been pretty back and forth, right? Florida State has won 2 of the past 3, but Florida has won 4 of the past 6. You know, Jimbo did win 7 of 8 when he was here. Talk about missing Jimbo sometimes. 7 straight against Miami, 7 of 8 against Florida. But UF had just won 6 straight against us before Jimbo took over. So, man, this has been a real big back and forth series. But like I said, man, I always want to beat the Gators without a doubt, man. So this is one that I really want Florida State to go get. And even if it's not the standard, trying to get into that bowl game, like we said, I think those are going to be valuable practices if Mike Norvell is going to be back. You know, we talked about before, I think after the clock hits 0 at Florida, if you make a bowl game, Kevin Sperry needs to be your starter for those 15 practices in that bowl game. We need to know, because Tommy ain't it for next year.
Nope.
So we need to know we need to know if Sperry can be that guy or not. And you've played him in 3 games, and he gets 4 games for a red shirt. So you're protecting his red shirt for that 4th game. Well, buddy, you ain't going to get a 4th game if you don't win this one.
Right.
And there's no games after that. So you might as well go ahead and let's see what he's got in that bowl game. But again, man, like you said, it just comes back to the disappointment that this is the same situation as 2021. And so it just feels, again, like a dream that we just can't wake up from. And so hopefully this time the results are better, because if you remember back to that 2021 game, Mike Norvell lost to that interim staff in the swamp, battling for bowl eligibility. So Florida comes into this, as we mentioned, 3-8, but they are 3-2 at home. You know what's interesting, Michael? Neither team – we should have played this in a neutral site, if I'm being honest. Neither team has won a road game this season. We're 0-4 on the road. They're 0-5 on the road. So we're combined 0-9 in road games. We should have played a neutral game, and you know what? It probably would have ended in a tie, right?
It probably would have.
That's the way it would have worked out. But, man, when you look at their schedule, right, you got Long Island University. You can throw that game out the window. I think Florida has more people on their staff than they have on their entire team roster. Everything. Like, I saw their – someone shared on – I think it was on Twitter or whatever, like, Long Island's team photo before that game, and it was like, dude, they got, like, 3 people on the team. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. So you can throw that one out. And then they lose that game, the one that really kind of sent shockwaves through college football early in the season. They lose to South Florida 16-18 in the swamp. Yep. They go and lose that game. So that one was one that kind of woke you up. And then they lose to LSU 20-10. They lose to Miami 26-7 in a game where their offense literally just did nothing in that entire game. And then the most mind-boggling win probably of the season, they come back and they beat Texas at home, 29-21. Makes absolutely no sense how they beat a team like Texas, even though, like we said before the show, Arch wasn't really doing great at that point. But Neither was Florida. They were 1-3. And then they go and they lose to Texas A&M 34-17. Texas A&M's a really good team. They were on the road. Mississippi State, they bounce back and win that one 23-21. And here's where things got interesting, right? Because as the season had already fallen apart, we're getting closer to our game. Most of you guys know I was at the Georgia-Florida game. I go to that with my wife, who's a Georgia fan, every year. And so I'm sitting in that stadium, and I'm watching that game, and Florida's got a lead at halftime. They're still in that game in the fourth quarter. I'm like, man, this team has not quit. That game's going to be harder than I thought it might be at the end of the year. They end up losing the game 24-20. The next week, they go on the road, and they lose to Kentucky 38-7. So I was like, okay, well, guess what? They stopped trying now. So now they're bad again. So now I feel good about this game. Then they go to Ole Miss, and they lose that game 34-24 in a dogfight. And I'm like, okay, Florida's playing hard. And then they get blown out at Tennessee at home last week, 31-11. The game was 31-0 at halftime. And so I'm like, I don't know what Florida team to believe is going to show up, because it seems like they are good for hanging in a couple games, and then they're good for getting blown out in a couple games. And, you know, the one thing that we do have to mention, obviously, you know, this is a rivalry game, and so you would expect them to show up in this game. Well, guess what? Tennessee's a rivalry game, too. Kentucky is a rivalry game for them, too. Maybe not to the level of Florida State, but your last two rivalry games, you got blown out in. And so, you know, we'll see how much they really want to be playing in this game. Because as you said, man, the only thing they have to play for is spoiler, right? That's it. There's no chance they're going to make a bowl this year. And so I think they just want to get to the end of the season. I don't know how motivated they are, but, man, this is a really – I'll throw it back to you on this. This is a really bipolar Florida team, right? One minute, they're like, how in the world did they do that? The next minute, it's like, how in the world did they do that? In a good and a bad way. So I hope we get the how in the world did they lose so badly Florida team on Saturday.
Well, I mean, it's just, again, this team has been so up and down. I mean, and you could have predicted this with Florida because you were, you know, they just brought back everybody as far as the coaching staff from last season. This is what everybody said it was going to be, right? That you're just continuing what everybody already knew, is that this coaching staff wasn't a good coaching staff. They were misusing the talent on the team, right? So they come back and they are just as hot and cold as you would imagine they would have been as they had been under Billy Napier, right? Now, again, what you thought was that their defense would keep them in the most games. That's what you assumed, that their defense was really good. They would stay in the most games, and they would give the offense a fighting chance. But the problem was is that once you got into the meat of that schedule, they lose three straight. You know, obviously South Florida, that South Florida game was insane. I watched the end of it, and they just could not score. The defense kept them in the game the whole time. Yeah. That offense just could not figure it out, and they were at home. Then they go to Miami, and they get blown out by Miami. They lose at LSU when Brian Kelly was the coach there. They still played pretty good in that game. And then we were at the Miami game watching them beat Texas at the tailgate, and we just couldn't believe it. Like,
I know.
And you just thought, okay, now the switch has flipped for them. They're going to figure it out. And then they lose at Texas A&M. Then they come back home and they beat Mississippi State. At that point in time, they're 3-4, teetering. And then it just all falls apart. And they played Georgia really hard. I remember texting you, and you were saying, like, gosh, Florida's playing really, really hard right now.
Yeah.
And then, so you're thinking, okay, maybe it's just a Georgia game. They go to Kentucky, and they get the brakes blown off of them. I mean, I watched that whole game. It wasn't even a game. It was over by the first quarter. It was over. And then, of course, they played kind of hard again against Ole Miss. And you're thinking, man, what in the world? This is Jekyll and Hyde. And then, of course, Tennessee comes in. Tennessee had won there since 2003. Hadn't won there.
That's crazy.
And they just get beat. I mean, Tennessee, the game was over at halftime. I think it was 31-0 at halftime. They had nothing. So just not really sure. Again, this is a rivalry game, so you know they're going to – and I would say this. I know Tennessee is a rivalry game. I know Georgia's a rivalry game. I still don't think those games are as rivalried as Florida State-Florida. I think the Florida State-Florida game is way more intense than the Georgia-Florida-Tennessee-Florida games.
You're right. As someone who goes to the Georgia-Florida game, when I wear FSU gear down there, I mean, I hear it way more than them. It's mm-hmm. just the fact that, like, you, I don't think you can say, well, it's a rivalry game, they're going to play really hard, when they just had a rivalry game and they got blown out. Like,
yeah.
you still would have wanted to beat Tennessee, right? It's not for like sure. it was South Carolina or something like that. But, no, you make a good point. This is one they're probably going to want to win because, mm-hmm. you know, we just don't like each other. And this is something that this Florida team is something that I don't think has really caught a lot of people who paid attention last year off guard. Like, there was a lot of people who early in the season thought Florida was going to be something.
Mm-hmm.
I remember at the end of last year on the way to the Florida game, man, I argued with so many Florida fans where I'm like, you guys brought Billy Napier back for basically two games, the Ole Miss game and I think it was LSU or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it was like every other team you beat was terrible, including us. And mm-hmm. so I think like every team besides like two out of the eight wins that they beat had a losing record from an FBS
yep.
level.
Yep.
And so it was like, man, this was something that you could just see how you had built kind of that straw house. It was mm-hmm. not a brick foundation. It's just you had Billy Napier, had DJ Lagway as the bird in the hand, right? You were yep. like, well, you could see where, you know, when the guy they had last year, I forget his name, but when he got hurt and then they brought in Lagway and he took over and he started playing pretty well. And you were like, okay, man, well, you can see where they might make some progress going into next year, right? Well, and Lagway looked
Graham Mertz.
Graham Mertz, right. And yeah. so, you know, Lagway looked okay last year. His touchdown yeah. interception ratio wasn't great. Looks better than it does this year even. But, man, I mean, that bird in the hand just flew off and pooped down Napier's head, right? And that's basically what happened this year because he's been bad. And I do think you can draw a little bit of a line where Lagway was hurt, right? You know, he missed almost all of spring. He missed most of fall camp with an injury being in a boot, and he didn't look himself early on. And then when you started to see the Texas game, it's like, okay, well, maybe if he's healthy, they'll be okay. And it just never took for them, which, hey, I'll laugh at their pain. I'm not going to be happy about them doing good or bad. Like, I want them right. to do bad. And so I just think this was something that didn't really catch me off guard as yeah. just from an outside onlooker, because I was like, man, you beat a bunch of bad teams last year.
Right.
You gave the guy, like when they gave Billy Napier his vote of confidence last year, they were losing 49-0 to Texas. And so it was like, man, that's never a good look, but hey, we give vote of confidence right after we lose games too. So there you go. But let's talk about this offense, man, because it is bad, right? This is, this literally reminds me of 2024 FSU offense mm-hmm. bad. It mm-hmm. is unbelievably terrible. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we're going to win the game, but they are terrible. So when you talk about this offense, 120th in the country, averaging 19.9 points per game. If you look at Power 4 only, that's only 16.4 points per game. It is mm-hmm. not very good. They have not scored over 30 points versus an FBS team this entire season. Now, you look back at the passing offense, 91st in the country. Rushing offense, 105th in the country. Third downs, 125th in the country. Like, just about everything they're doing bad in. Explosive plays over 20 yards, 117th in the country. The one place they're good at, Michael, is the red zone, which makes no sense. They are 29th in the red zone, but here's the thing. They're 117th in red zone attempts, so they just mm-hmm. don't get into the red zone mm-hmm. a lot. Mm-mm. And so this is all in all, man, it's a bad offense. And Florida State's defense has not been playing terrible. So you feel like you should be able to come in here and keep Florida under 30 points. They haven't scored 30 points against an FBS team this entire season.
Correct.
So you feel like you should be able to get there. Now, hopefully we don't allow them to do that. But, man, again, it all starts and ends with DJ Lagway, right? He's got a pretty good completion percentage, 63.3%, 2,096 yards on the season, 13 touchdowns to 13 interceptions. He's thrown the most interceptions in the SEC by any quarterback. He's 73rd in QBR. He's just not – he really hasn't gotten any better, if we're being honest. Like, it looks like he's actually gotten worse going into year two. Now, I know a lot of that has been under an interim staff, but, you know, he is semi-mobile, right? 68 attempts on the year, 137 yards on the ground, one touchdown, four fumbles. So he's been responsible for 17 turnovers this year. That's just a turnover machine, right? But he is actually their second leading rusher, which is kind of crazy to begin with too. And, man, you just look at down the list of games, right? 287 yards against LSU, but one touchdown and five interceptions. Then you look at versus Miami, 61 yards passing and no touchdowns. Then against Kentucky, 83 yards, one touchdown, three picks, and gets benched. And then last week against Tennessee, 116 yards, one touchdown. So, man, it is just this passing offense behind DJ Lagway has been awful. Like, he has had as many multi-interception games as he has had multi-touchdown games this season with three apiece. And one of those three touchdown games, or multiple touchdown games, was Long Island University. Yeah. So, man, it's just been a really, really bad year for Lagway, which leads to a really bad year for this offense. He has not faced a ton of pressure because they get the ball out quick. 61% of passes are under 10 yards. They kind of dink and dunk you down the field, which is kind of surprising, man, because he was one of the best freshman deep ball throwers in the country last year.
Right.
And this year, it has really taken a turn for the South, right? He had last year, his completion percentage on throws over 20 yards was 52.8% with five touchdowns and two picks. This year, it's 35% with four touchdowns and six picks. So really, his deep ball, and that could be somewhat receiver related too, right? But man, it is just it's just been pretty bad, like from a quarterback perspective and from an offensive perspective. And so, you know, really, man, this is a game that Florida State, you should be able to come in here and not get picked apart by this passing offense, right? The receivers aren't super special. Now, a lot of that probably has to do with the – I think they have talent at receiver. It just has a lot to do with the quarterback play. They got five receivers over 200 yards, but none over 500, six if you count the running back. We're talking about this before the show, man. Their offense is Jaden Baugh, right?
Oh, yeah, all of it.
And, buddy, let me tell you what. They let him carry the ball because it is him and nobody else in that backfield. They are. Right. I think they got a freshman that's got a few carries. But other than Jaden Baugh, it's nobody. 102 attempts on the season for 904 yards. You know, if he hits close to 100 yards in this game, he's going to be a 1,000-yard back. So he's a nice little running back. Six touchdowns on the season. Also has 210 receiving yards and two touchdowns out of the backfield. And, you know, we figured out this stat when we were talking about it in the pre-show, man, is the key to this game for Florida. You know, we typically have these for Florida State with how many times Tommy throws the ball. The key to this game for Florida is to run the ball, right?
When absolutely. You look at
their schedule is, or their record is 3-8. Jaden Baugh has carried it over 20 times, two times this season. And they won two of those games. And we're going to throw out the win against Long Island. Keep that in mind. Those two wins were Texas and Mississippi State. And it's the only two times he ran the ball over 20 times in those games. So if I'm Florida's offensive coordinator, he needs to be running the ball close to 30 times in this game if you hope to have a chance to win. You cannot put this on DJ Lagway's arm. If you do, it's going to be good for us. And so I hope they don't figure this out in this game, because it sounds like out of the other nine games, they were not able to figure that out. So it's weird, man. It's weird. And so the pass block efficiency grade for the offensive line is 79th. They've given up 18 sacks. Lagway is mobile, so he does help out with that a little bit there. And then they're 90th in rush yards per carry. So not a great offensive line, not great quarterback play, but they got a solid running back and a pretty decent receiving core. But, man, all in all, when you put it all together, this is just a bad offense this year. Mm-hmm. And so Florida State, the problem for me is we have a bad road offense. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, this is going to be like the race to 17 is what it feels like. But, man, give me some thoughts on this offense.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I've kind of honed in on is Florida is averaging 19.75 points at home against Power Four. So if you take out the Long Island victory, they're only averaging basically almost 20 points a game. They only scored 11 points against Tennessee and 16 points against South Florida. Okay. So what that tells you is that if you come into this game and you're able to neutralize, and when I say neutralize, doesn't mean completely stop. Doesn't mean that he won't get any touches. It means that you're going to limit his effectiveness with Jaden Baugh. If you're able to limit his effectiveness and you're forcing DJ Lagway to win through the air with his arms, I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying he hasn't proven that he could do it this season. If you limit Jaden Baugh's effectiveness, because he's their second leading receiver as far as receptions is concerned, and he's obviously their number one rusher. And behind their number one, behind Jaden Baugh and rushing is DJ Lagway. That's what I'm saying. And it's not even close. He's got like 181 touches rushing wise. And then the next closest is DJ with like 67, I believe.
And Lagway's got 137 rushing yards. And he's their number two rusher.
You have to neutralize Jaden Baugh. You have to make his touches ineffective, which forces the ball to have to be thrown more than they want to throw it with DJ Lagway. Because if you do that, he has 13 interceptions on the season. He's averaging a little over one interception per game. So it means that you have the ability to force him into making a bad throw. And believe it or not, this defense this year has been pretty good. We have almost doubled our interceptions, so tripled basically.
Not hard to do when you only had two
last year. But they've been almost good at, you know, getting the interception. Obviously, Edwin Joseph dropping the interception last week was a backbreaker. But that was only one of the most terrible 5 minutes of football I've ever seen in my life.
We have 11 this year.
11. So they've been pretty good about getting those. So if you can bait him into throwing the ball, he will give it away. He wants to give it away. And then the last thing I'll say is that they've only scored 20-plus points in 5 of 11 games this year. You can limit this offense severely if you're showing up and if you want to take away the options there. But you cannot let them dink and dunk you down the field. This can't. Mm-hmm. I know this defense is a bend but don't break defense. But, like, I'm just being real. You've broken when you have bent. So how about we just don't break and don't bend at all? That'd be nice.
Yeah, you got to find a way, like you said, to kind of rein in Jaden Baugh, because he has been their entire offensive attack. And you've done pretty good at taking a runaway against some decent running teams, right? And I feel like this is a lot like Virginia Tech, where you have an offense that can run the ball pretty well, but you have a quarterback, like in Miami, you took the runaway pretty good, but you had a quarterback who could kind of beat you with his arm when you gave one thing to take another away. And so when you also go back to the Virginia Tech game, like, you gave up a lot of rush yards, but you gave up almost nothing through the air. And so I think this is one where you got to be careful. Like, can they beat you by scoring enough if you're taking away that run? Can DJ Lagway beat you? And it's like, he hasn't, like you said, I'm not saying he can't. He just has not shown the ability to do it yet. And so we'll see how that goes. But, man, before we get into the defensive side of things, let's first bring you a quick word from today's sponsor. And you guys already know it's Alumni Hall FSU. Look, we're still rocking with them. We're still rocking our Noel gear. Baseball season's coming up. Basketball season's coming up. Last time I was in Tallahassee at Alumni Hall, I picked me up a basketball and a baseball shirt for the spring sports coming up, man. So make sure you check them out. 1415 Timberlane Road in Tallahassee. Or go online and shop at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page and make sure you use code SPEAR to save 10%. So these guys got elite gear, man. Make sure you check them out. And we appreciate you guys for supporting those who support us. So that's Alumni Hall and code SPEAR. If you're going to buy the gear, you might as well save some money anyway. So check those guys out. And we really, really appreciate you supporting the show. So, Michael, let's talk about this defense, right? I think early in the season when we were talking about Florida, it was very much like, man, that offense is putrid, but that defense is going to give people some problems, right? Mm-hmm. You saw it in the Miami game. You saw it in a lot of these games where that Florida defense was no joke. But it also feels like they've really started to fade, right? I think that defense is just, man, they're beat up. They're tired. They're not really interested anymore. You know, again, we don't talk a lot about yardage on the show because yards don't win games, points do. Right. But they did not allow over 400 yards in their first 5 games. And they have allowed over 400 yards in 5 of the past 6, including 538 yards to Ole Miss. So it seems like their grip is starting to slip a little bit by this defense, which is good because our offense does not travel on the road. So points per game allowed, 24.3, 65th in the country, 27.7 against Power 4 teams. They have allowed over 30 points in the past 3 games. So as you can see, things are starting to add up here where you need to be. Pass defense, they are 71st in the country. Rush defense, 78. So they're pretty balanced there. They are giving up around 153 yards on the ground per game, which, again, I think we've talked about this before, where Florida State averages around 150. For them to win, you'd like to see them hit that 150 mark or then some. 200 yards rushing in this game would make me feel a lot better towards the end when the clock gets ready to strike zero. They are 70th in sacks with 22 on the season, 116th in third down defense. Once again, Michael, the one thing that doesn't make any sense, whoever's their red zone coordinator needs to be retained because they are 20th in red zone defense. So they're good at red zone offense and good at red zone defense. That's pretty much about it. They're 66 in explosive plays allowed. 32 of them come through the pass, but 13 through the run. So Florida State should be able to move the ball on them. Again, I was worried about this Florida defense pretty early in the year because, man, they were definitely carrying the load for Florida.
Yeah.
But again, man, it seems like they are just ready to be done with the season. And it's got to be frustrating to have that offense on the other side, man. They're just got to be worn out and tired over the course of the season. But that doesn't mean it's still a bad defense, right? They can they can give you some fits. But I definitely think that what we saw early in the season is a little bit different than what we're seeing now. And so, you know, Florida State's problem on the road has never been about moving the ball, right? They're moving the ball. They just cannot figure out how to turn that into points, which is obviously why we say yards don't win games, points do, right? We outgain almost every one of our opponents. We just don't outscore every one of our opponents. So don't care about the yards, only care about the points. So if you move the ball on this team and you have got to figure out how to turn that into points, you're talking about a top 20 red zone defense, which makes you nervous. And our kicker has been pretty miss not hit lately.
Yeah.
And so, man, I think in this one, it's not about moving the ball. It's about figuring out how to get points when you get down into the critical area of the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that sticks out for me is a couple of numbers here. Florida is 113th in the country in third down conversion allowed. They're basically giving up 45% of those third down conversions. 69 out of 157. So if you can get in third and manageable, and by third and manageable, I mean third and five or less, right? If you can be in third and five or less, you should be converting at a 45% clip of the game, right? Which will allow you to keep the offense on the field, keep the defense off the field, and move the ball. And then the other thing that stuck out to me from that point is they've allowed 20 plus points in 9 of 11 games this season, okay? They're allowing 18.1 points at home per team. But if you only account for power four at home, they're giving up 22.75 points at home against power four teams. You can score on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Florida State, you can score on this team. You have to be able to get down there and score. Jesse, you know the stats. Since Virginia, Florida State has only scored 13 against Stanford, 10 against Clemson, 11 against NC State. And NC State is by far one of the worst defenses in the country. We talked about it on the last preview show. And you only scored 11 points against them. 11. I'll say it one more time. You only scored 11 points against the worst defense in the country. And now you're getting ready to face another not-so-great defense in the country. 65th in scoring defense at 24 points a game. You should be able to put up 24 points this game. You should be able to. I mean, that's really nothing else to say.
Yeah. And so with that, we'll just kind of jump into our final thoughts, keys, and the prediction here, man. And, you know, when I look at this, so I was like, this is what the game comes down to for me. Florida has allowed over 30 points in each of the past three games, right? The power four teams they faced at home, they've given up 21, 21, and 31. Mm-hmm. So Florida also has not scored 30 points against an FBS team this entire season. So logic, which typically goes out of the window in football, logic would say score 30 and you win the game, right? Mm-hmm. They haven't even scored 30. They technically scored 29. So you get 30 points, you should win this game. But it comes back to what you just talked about for me, man. Florida State's offense after the Virginia game has not figured out a way to travel. Now, you could argue that this is the least road of the road games. Like, you don't even have to jump on a plane for this one. You're right down the street. It's a Saturday game. There's no Friday night mess. There's no going cross country to Stanford mess. So this is probably the toughest road environment. We'll see how much Florida fans show up, but I'm sure they'll pack it out for this game.
They'll pack it out, yeah.
But it might be the toughest road environment that you've had to play in, but this is the closest to home road game. So you got plenty. You don't even need to be there till Friday afternoon, right? You got plenty of time to work on things here. The problem is Florida State in road games since Virginia has scored 13, 10, and 11, right? And Florida's defense is better than two of those three, not named Clemson, right? They're better than NC State, and they're better than Stanford's defense. So you're going to have to figure out how to score against a defense that's just a little bit worse than Clemson's, but better than the other two that you couldn't score against. And so that's what makes me worried about this game. Also, they're top 20 in red zone defense. And Florida State has not won a road game in 2 years. So I just need a reason to pick Florida State in this game, but they just don't give me many reasons to do that. And so, man, I come back to the fact that if you score 30 points in this game, you feel really darn good about your chances to win. With Florida's offense, I don't know that you need 30 points to win this game. but you're probably not going to win it with 13, 10, or 11. So the question is, can Florida State find a way to score on the road? That's what it comes down to, because I do think you can hold Florida's offense in check. I think this defense, for what it's worth, man, has gotten a lot better. Like, ever since that bye week where, you know, before the Wake game, mm-hmm. whatever they did, it has worked, because they have been much better on defense. It's just the offense has now, the scales have started to tip, and you just can't score on the road. So I feel good about Florida State holding Florida's offense to, say, 21 or less, but can you score on the road? Because in the last couple of games this year, you have not shown the ability to do that. So, man, that's right. That's really what it's going to come down to for me. And I'll give you my key. I only have one key to this game, and that is win the damn game. They are 3-8, and they just got blown out at home. Win the game. That's all I got to say, man. There is no do this, do that, do the other. Man up, act like you want to win, and go win the daggone game. This is a bad Florida team. I know you're going into their place. Go win a road game, man. It's been 2 years. Win the game.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you. I'm right there with you. I think, you know, I got three keys. They don't matter, but I'll give them to you anyways.
Go for it.
Number one, you got to limit the effectiveness of Jaden Baugh. I mean, he's going to get touches. So it's not about the number. I mean, yes, I guess if he gets 20-plus touches on the run game, Florida has won the game. So that kind of matters, but you're probably not going to be able to limit his touches. You have to limit the effectiveness of each touch, meaning you got to make sure if you have a chance to tackle him behind the line of scrimmage, you got to do it. You cannot let him break tackles. You cannot let him, Jesse, you cannot let him get open on a rail route or the wheel route. I went back and watched several games. They love that play where he comes out of the backfield, you know, and has a linebacker chasing him, and he's getting wide open. That's how they scored that touchdown against Tennessee.
Lord knows our linebackers can't cover.
Exactly. You've got to make sure you make his touches ineffective. That's number one. Number two, Tommy. Oh gosh, brother. If the throw is wide open, throw it there. Don't overthrow it. Set your feet, please. Could you just do it one time? That'd be nice, right? That'd be nice. And then number three, hope.
Oh, you know, hope's not a strategy, right?
You know what? It's got to be one this time.
Okay, there you go.
Because here's why. Let me tell you why.
It's all we got left.
That's all we got left. Let me just give you the thing. Against Georgia, we scored 3 points away from home. Against Georgia Tech in Ireland, we scored 21 points. Okay, all right. At SMU, 16 points. At Duke, 16 points. At Miami, 14 points. At Notre Dame, 3 points. Virginia, 38 points, but also remember winning overtime. At Stanford, 13 points. At Clemson, 10 points. At NC State, 11 points. Guess what all those have in common, Jesse?
Those are road games.
Road games, away from Doak, and all losses. All of them. We have nothing but hope, because we have proven we cannot win on the road. We literally had a chance to go and beat NC State, and you had a punt doink off somebody's head, go 30 yards back, and a punter that doesn't even want contact gets the ball.
Literally never seen that before in my life.
Never, ever. We'll probably never ever see it again. You had a dropped interception clearly in his hands, dropped it. Then you had another punt, and a guy who has been sure hand all season long, muff a punt there. And then you had a touchdown and one of the most ugliest throws I've ever seen, and the guy catches it. In a 5-minute time span, if Florida State can find a way to lose on the road, they will find that way. They will find it. It's a needle.
Or they'll invent a new one.
Or they'll invent a new way to do it. And I'm just telling you, hope is not a strategy, but it's going to have to be in this game.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, man, it's just this team does not travel. And this is we talked about this before the show, where I said this is the same circumstances to me as the NC State game. If this game was in Doak, I would take Florida State to win. If this game was in Jacksonville or Orlando or Tampa, I would take Florida State to win this game. But it's not. And until Florida State wins a game on the road, I got no reason to pick them. I can't pick them to win a road game. I mean, you would think logic tells you that eventually the streak has to end. It doesn't, but we'll see, man. I mean, this is the last chance you got, and I you need this one bad. You really do. Like, we talked about it, like, in the opening. Beating Florida is like, well, you should do that when they're 3-8. But losing to 3-8 Florida would just be terrible, right? And so you need to win this one. It would be gross, man. And then you get denied bowl eligibility and all that. So, man, for me, again, it just comes back to if this game were in Doak or in a neutral site, I would take Florida State to win. But because it's in the swamp, it's just hard, man. It's hard to pick Florida State, and I hate picking against Florida State, especially in a rivalry, especially against Miami, especially against Florida. I just hate it. But I can't logically do it until you give me a reason to do it. But you know what, Michael? The crazy thing about rivalries, sometimes logic don't mean a damn thing. So give me Florida State to win this one in a low-scoring affair. Go Noles, 20-17. Florida State walks out of the swamp with a win.
Wow.
And we're going to the Gasparilla Bowl, baby.
Gasparilla Sun Belt Bowl, whatever it's called. Oh, my gosh.
It's a terrible place to be, but, man, this isn't about me picking Florida State. This is that I'm not picking Florida. Not a 3-8 Florida, daggone it. Like, this, I'm not picking the Swamp Lizards. I'm not doing it.
Well, listen, you were right last week. I was wrong last week. I mean, so, you know.
I'm willing to be wrong this week. It's okay.
It's okay. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, listen, I go back to the fact that Florida State hasn't won on the road in, gosh, how long? Florida State's offense does not show up on the road very well. The coaching staff lose their ever-loving mind when they're trying to coach and manage a game on the road. It's just not happening. And until it happens, no person who has eyes can assuredly say this is going to be a win. That's right. Your eyes.
Have eyes then.
You don't have eyes. I just don't know how to do it. And of course, like, you have to remember, like, I made this a long time ago. It still remains true. It's probably going to happen next year. This is just a repeat of what Florida just went through, where they kept their coach, only to fire him next year. I hate having to do this, but I am picking Florida to win the game. 24-13, Florida wins.
I understand it. It's painful, but I understand it. I came into this. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't going to pick Florida State, but my hatred for the Gators outweighs our lack of offense on the road. And so
I totally get it.
Look, man, Mike Norvell, for the love of goodness, please just one road game, dude, one road game. Just get me Florida on the road, please. Yeah. But that's going to do it for this one, guys. If you enjoy this episode, look there. I don't know if y'all understand how hard it is sometimes to come on here and talk about this mess that we have in our lab right now, but we're continuing to do it. So I really do appreciate you guys rocking with us throughout this thing, but that's going to do it for us. So if you're enjoying this, if you're suffering through this with us or whatever the case may be, man, drop a like and subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, drop a rate and review on the podcast. It helps us reach other Noles fans. We greatly, greatly appreciate that. If you would like to consider being a member of the PTS tribe, it is $5 a month. And it helps support everything that we do here at the channel, helps for the tailgates and all that type of stuff that we throw. You know, we invite you guys, open invitation for all of our members too. So we really would appreciate you just considering that. Again, we don't charge for content. We let you choose whether you want to contribute or not. So we'd appreciate anyone who does consider that option. Remember, Alumni Hall is the title sponsor. Save 10% with code SPEAR. Also, once again, thank you for these awesome PTS hats from Justin and his wife, Kayla, of Hartman Custom. So make sure you check them out as well. So guys, that's going to be it. We're gonna try and do a post-game show, and hopefully we're talking about a win over Florida and a little bit of some bowl season stuff to go on, man. So we'll see. I don't know. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there in the PTS family. You guys enjoy the holiday, and we'll catch you on Saturday afternoon. As always, go Noles.